Father, thank you for bringing us here to this precious group of brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm grateful to you, Lord. You know that. I'm so grateful that you let me be here tonight. And I've been asking you, Lord, and I even ask you now that you would use what I have to say to be a blessing and an encouragement to this church, to these dear people. And I ask this in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Yeah, our littlest is named Hope. Hope America. That's her name. She's adorable little girl, I think. Of course, she's my daughter. Our oldest is 23. And our youngest is 6 years old now. She has a unique way about her. She gets wound up at the end of the day. She's the opposite of me. When it gets to the end of the day, then I wear out. Matter of fact, about this time of night, I usually... Now, with you listening to me, I won't. But usually this time of night, I'm like, I start to yawn, and I have to get a second wind. But now my daughter, Hope, she's amazing. She comes in and uses our bed for a trampoline when we're on it. You know, when you're a young dad, you put your children to bed, right? You go ahead and you kneel down by their bed, you pray with them, you tell them a story. When you're an old dad like me, your children put you to bed. So I'm in there in the bed and the kids come in. Good night, Dad. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, did you say something to me? And do you want me to pray with you, Dad, before you go to sleep? Yeah. Well, you tell me a story. Why not? You're at it. You know, and Hope just jumping on the bed, just jumping up and down on top of the bed. I'm like, Hope, please don't. Matter of fact, Pastor, it was at Camp Barakel this happened. She's jumping on the bed in the speaker's quarters there at Camp Barakel. She's jumping on the bed. I said, Hope, would you please just lay down? And, you know, we're tired. And so she laid down, but she just kept talking. Well, she was asking questions, and she was saying things you could answer yes or no. You know, so I'm like, And then she was on to that. So she started asking me questions you could not answer yes or no. And so finally, she just was just jabbering away, and I was drifting off to sleep. And she said, Daddy, am I talking too much? And that struck a chord in my soul because, you know, I think God knew that the only thing I was going to be any good at was talking about Him. You know, I'm not really good at automobile repair. I'm not going to tell you about that, but y'all take my word. I'm just really not that good at it. I'm not a fixer-upper, you know. I'm not that organized, but I love to talk and write and sing about Jesus Christ. And God knew that was going to be that way. He knew I was going to be a talker about Jesus Christ, which we call a pastor, a preacher, which is a wonderful thing. And He knew that. And so I have that kind of, and people would say, well, are you ever going to shut up? You know, which you might be saying later on tonight. I hope not. But are you ever going to shut up? And I go to school. You know, it was difficult for me because, frankly, when I went to school, I often got beat up. Beat up on the way home from school, made fun of. They had a special name for me, they called me. And school was a very painful thing for me because people would say, well, you know, he's that kind of outgoing, so he draws attention to himself. Let's just beat him up. And it happened to me a lot. I'm not going to tell you all the stories. I want you to feel too bad for me, just a little bit bad for me, so that you understand that I have a little idea. I don't think I've gone through the hurt most people have gone through, but I've gone through just a little bit of hurt. I know a little bit what it feels like to think, why don't people like me? And sometimes, you know, your most sincere feelings come at nighttime before you go to sleep. And I would lay in my bed at nighttime. And when I was in school, junior high, you know, it was a tough time for me. And I had to try to make my way home from school, try to figure out how to get home without getting beat up. Or I thought, well, some of the guys in my family said, well, if you're tough, you hit somebody real hard one time, they leave you alone. It doesn't work like that. I tried that. It didn't work. First of all, you feel bad hitting somebody back. And second of all, it may work for some people, but it never really worked for me. So I'm laying in bed at night, and I'm thinking, this is the thought that would be in my mind. Why don't people like me? What is it about me that makes people want to beat me up? What is it about me that makes people want to make fun of me? I mean, that was a big feeling. I had good mom and dad, and I thank God for that. And they expressed love to me. And a lot of people don't have that, but I did. But I did have that feeling very strong, and it was very hard for me. I felt like a punching bag sometimes. And I think this, I have a theory that every one of us has a desire for love. We want to be loved. We want to be accepted. We want to be liked. We want somebody out there to like us and to love us. We're all that way. And the problem is that we don't ever really get enough. You ever notice that? You feel like you've been loved enough? You ever feel like somebody paid enough attention to you? Isn't it interesting that you tend to think, I know what will happen when I graduate from kindergarten, then people will. Or when I graduate from high school, or when I go to college, if I have a college degree, then people will really admire and love me. Or if I have, you name it, a possession of some kind, or Or, you know, this is the big one. You know this is true because you turn the radio on, this is what all the songs are about. The people that don't know the Lord, what do they sing about? Love. Romantic love. And, you know, hey, romantic love should not be depreciated. I mean, that's an important thing. But you know what I've noticed is a lot of people who are married still don't feel loved enough. They feel unloved. Remember the lady in the Bible, Leah? I mean, she had a bad situation. Would you agree? How many of you would like that? You, your husband's in love with your sister. It's not a good thing. It's in the Bible there. I would never have brought that up if it wasn't in the Bible. Your husband's in love with your sister. And he's obsessed with your sister for the first 7 years of your marriage. If I understand the Bible right, that's not a good thing. How would you feel? The Bible says specifically there in the book of Genesis that she was not loved. God says she was not loved. The Bible says it right here, Genesis chapter 29. He also loved Rachel more than Leah. Verse 31, when the Lord saw Leah was unloved, God saw that she was not loved. Verse 33, she conceived and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved. The one thing that kind of defined who Leah was she just didn't feel loved by a person that she should have been able to expect love from, her husband. You know, somebody said, he got the raw end of the deal. Well, what about her? She really got a difficult situation, didn't she? And the scriptures say, when she named her babies, she gave them names like kind of meant things similar to this, and I'm being a little free in my, you know, interpretation, but she gave the babies names like, maybe my husband will love me now. Maybe now my husband will favor me. Maybe now my husband will stay with me. My goodness, there's even this awful part where she had to actually kind of hire her husband's love by giving away this fruit. I mean, that was sad. A woman shouldn't have to do that. Now, should she? She should just be loved. People should be loved, but they're often not loved. And if I were to like take a little poll, have a little vote here, and I were to say to you guys, how many of you have had an experience in your life where you really felt rejected or unloved? And if you were honest and able, I bet every one of you would raise your hand and say, yes, I don't feel like I've had enough love in my life. I sometimes feel loved. And what I want to talk about tonight is, what do you do when you don't feel loved? Does the Bible have anything to say about that? What do I do when I don't feel loved? Well, I want to tell you something. I think God intends for us to feel unloved sometimes. And I'll tell you why. It's kind of a mystery. But I think God intends sometimes for us to feel unloved. I'm going to give you three things to do. Isn't that pastoral of me? 3 points. I'm going to give you 3 things because I don't want to disappoint anybody. 3 things to do when you don't feel loved. Now, first of all, here's the first thing. It's kind of what you don't do first. When you don't feel loved, number one, don't look to other people to fulfill your desire for love. Don't do that. Especially any one particular person. Don't put that pressure on your husband. Don't put that pressure on your wife. Don't put that pressure on your kids. Don't put that pressure on your dog. Don't look to any person or thing to make you feel loved. That's more pressure than God ever intended any human being ever have to fulfill. My goodness, you're making a God out of that person then. You see? But that isn't that what we do? I'm going to get married and my wife's just going to love me. She's going to get up every morning and fix me breakfast. She's going to adore me. She's going to want me to sign her Bible. That was a joke. It doesn't happen. My wife's like, you know, but you ever hear the one about the guy who gets up in the morning and he says, I thought when we got married, you were going to fix me a hot breakfast. She said, oh, shut up. If you want a hot breakfast, you put your cornflakes in a microwave. I'm not going to make a hot breakfast for you. That's never happened to me. It's never happened to me. But I've heard of that kind of thing happening to people. And if we could hear the stories of women who kind of were looking for love and didn't get it, we wouldn't want to probably hear all those stories. Don't look to a person for love. Don't do that. This is what the Bible says. I love this. David was a guy who felt rejection. He should have been loved. My goodness, he was the king. But I guess if you're the king, wouldn't you wonder if people really loved you for you? Maybe like a beautiful woman always probably wonders, did they love me for me or did they just like how I look? Or a wealthy person, did they love me for me or just because of what I have? These are problems, obviously, you can tell by looking, I don't have. Nobody loves me for how I look or how much money I have. I don't worry about those kinds of things. But David was the king. And you know, think about the rejection he felt. His own son turned the kingdom against him. And then the people were fickle, weren't they? They just went with his son. He had that first wife, Michal. She was a case, wasn't she? She wasn't in love with the king. She was in love with, but she was in love with David. She was in love with being in love with the king, whoever the king happened to be at the time. If you read about it there in the Bible, she loves David. She says, I love you, David. David loses the kingdom. She's going to go love somebody. It's a sad situation. she immediately crawls into bed with the guy, whoever the king is then. And now David's the king again. Here she comes back. Do you think David felt loved? I don't think so. He was he saw the deliverance of God. He came back dancing and singing and praising God, and his wife's like making fun of him. Now that's not something you do to somebody you love, right? She mocked him and she made fun of him. She ridiculed him. That's the worst thing you do to a man, isn't it? To rob him of his respect by mocking and ridiculing him. And she did that. He was the king. But at home, his wife decided she'd take him down a few notches. He knew what it was like. And here's what he said. And that's why the Psalms are so rich, because this is a guy with a real heart here. He said in Psalm 73, in verse 25, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there's none on earth that I desire besides you." David understood this. No human being could ever be to him all the love that his heart desires. No human being can do that. Do not look to people. When you feel unloved, don't expect people to love you all that your heart longs to be loved. Now, here's the second thing. So where do you look? Well, you know the answer to this, but I'm just kind of here to remind you. That's what preachers do. They don't tell you new stuff so much. You hear some good preaching here. I've been listening on the internet. Lots of good preaching. So I'm just here to remind you, or say it a little different way. Put a little different twist on things. Where do you look then? If I don't look to a man, if I don't look to a woman, if I don't look to a possession, if I don't look to my pet, and you know, a lot of people, they do, they think, well, this dog's not going to get me any trouble. My wife and I were driving through a fine restaurant, McDonald's, one day, and we're there parked, and the guy in front of us had a pickup truck. And in his pickup, he's ordering at McDonald's in his pickup truck, he's got a dog next to him. The dog's just sitting up there, you know, looking over, kind of a black lab, big dog looking over there. The guy orders the food, and he gets the food, and he reaches in the bag and immediately gives a cheeseburger to the dog. You know how dogs eat, like, boom, you know, kind of gobbled it down. Now, my wife is sitting next to me, and she's really something. She's got a sense of humor and a little bit of a, you know, kind of a wit about her, a bit of a sarcastic wit. Her humor is a bit sarcastic, and I'm waiting for her to say something, because I know there's something coming. We've been married long enough, I'm thinking, what is she thinking? And here's what she says. She says, "I bet that guy hasn't had his wife out to eat for months." And I said, "Well, the dog probably doesn't talk back to him, you know." And then, that was not good. Just the grace of God that she's willing even to come with me tonight after that kind of behavior. But that's why people, they do that. But, you know, we kid about that. But that's true. People go, well, people are going to disappoint me, but my dog Rover won't. And they literally have pets for affection. Now, I know when I was in junior high, I was going through that difficult time. I got this little dog from my grandmother. I love that dog. A little beautiful little black dog, a little furry thing. And I love that dog. That dog loved me. It seemed that way. He slept on the end of my bed. You know, nudged my toes when he wanted to go out. And one day, I opened the door, and that dog ran out into the traffic and was hit. Lady that ran over that dog and killed my little dog never even stopped, and my heart was broken. You don't even think, why would God let that happen to a little boy? And of course, you know, worse things than that happen to little boys and girls all over this great city that we're in and all over America. Painful things. Why does God let us, when we love something like that, why does He let it be? Because God never intended us for worship, for us to worship dogs or worship wives or worship husbands or worship cars. He wants us to worship Him. Why? Because He loves us and He knows that we'll never be fulfilled unless we worship Jesus Christ. So I don't look to love for love to people. I look to love for love to God. And I delight in Him. I don't treat Him like a rabbit's foot. I don't treat Him like the little plastic 8-ball they had when you were little. And they had one on the bus. So you really shouldn't be messing with stuff like this, you know. And what you do is you shake it, you turn it over, and it would answer questions. And am I going to marry Betty Lou? Highly doubtful, it says. I'm like, oh, nuts, you know. You know, will I be rich and famous? Not a chance. You remember those? There was a little plastic 8-ball. And you know, Christians, that, you agree with me, that's not something we should be. Like, look to the Word. Get on your knees in prayer. Ask the Lord. He'll let Him tell you. Let the Holy Spirit tell you things. Don't look to the plastic 8-ball. You know, we often treat God like that. He's nothing but a plastic 8-ball to us. Well, yeah, He knows the future. I'll check with Him. And then after I, you know, give me some detail here, Lord. Or give me some stuff, some money. Take care of me. Protect me. We want things. We use God. We don't love God. We use God, but we don't love God. You don't like being used. You want to be loved. God likes to be loved. And here's the interesting thing. We love Him because, yeah, you're supposed to work with me on this, right? Because He first loved us. So we love Him because Yeah. We love Him because He first loved us. That's the wonderful thing about Him. It isn't dependent on our love or how deep we love Him. He loves us into loving Him back. And He's so loving that sometimes He'll come into our life with what some people call a severe mercy. And He will take something from us that we were delighting in, that maybe we would be tempted to make it into an idol. He'll say, no, here, let me have that. And then we're like, oh. And that makes us think, you know what? Now, what a lot of people do is they just go to the next idol. And they spend their life going from one unsatisfying idol to another, or one person to another, or one relationship to another, or one possession to another, or one job to another, or even one church to another, instead of recognizing it's God. It's all God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves me. He died for me. He saved me, forgave my sins. I love Him. I worship Him. The old Puritans called it holy affections. We don't talk like that. We might say passion for God, love for God. That's the thing that God wants, and that's the thing that we need, and that's the thing that we desire. So we don't look to others. Who do we look to? We look to God. We look to God, and we let Him love us. You know, that's exactly what it means to have the fullness of God. The Apostle Paul, in the book of Ephesians, he said this frequently, chapter 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us. You know, our focus should not, when you're on love, don't let your focus be on people. Let your focus be on how much God loves you. Just look around for evidence that God loves you, because it is there. If you don't have to look too far, look to the cross. This is the greatest evidence of God's love. That Christ, this is chapter 3, verse 17, Paul's praying this wonderful prayer. And he says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How can I be filled with all the fullness of God? I just look on Christ's love for me. I look on Calvary. I realize what a sinner I am, how I deserve to die in my sins, and I deserve to die and go to hell. But God, in His great love, looked into the world and said, I'll give my precious Son, Jesus Christ, to die for Him. And if He would give His Son, what would He withhold? We need to think. We go to communion. We look at the cross. We look on Calvary. We sing songs about Calvary because we are seeing the love of God. What do I do when I feel in love? I stop looking to people to ultimately fulfill my desire for love. I start looking to Calvary. He loves me, and I love Him back. You know, you get up in the morning, it's not a bad thing. A lot of times I start my day, God help me prayers. I start my day with prayer. A lot of times it's God help me, God help me. I need His help so badly. Plastic eight ball, rabbit's foot God. I mean, it's not wrong to say, God, I need Your help. But wouldn't it be better to start your day, God, I know You love me, and I want to love You back. What do You want me to do to love You today? You're so good to me. You're so kind. You haven't sent me to hell. I have food to eat. I have clothes to wear. I have a family. I have people around me. God, You're so good to me. Count Your blessings. And you start the day by loving Him, and something good happens to you. Well, that's not where you stop, though. There's something more, because I have 3 points, right? There is something more. First of all, I don't look at people. When